Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking, but the pocket collapsed. Had to step up. That throws down the left sideline. Complete to Cook. 45-40. Gets it back. 35-30. 25-20. And is dragged down from behind at the 15-yard line.
Thursday Night Football. I remember when Prime launched football and we heard this song for the first time.
I remember that too. Yeah.
I still feel the same way I felt about it, but now I like it. I remember saying, this sounds like Madden menu music.
Yeah.
Because it still does.
It does.
But I do find myself humming it, and I like it.
Yeah, I'm into it. I like it. You're right, though. It does kind of still sound like that. I'm not thinking about that as much, though, because now I know what it is. Right?
Don't they all just sound like menu music? It's just football that's around. It's just music that surrounds football, and eventually you're like, oh, yeah, that's football.
Right, that's the blank song.
Yeah.
This is the Thursday song. Josh Allen, by the way, Mr. Thursday Night.
Oh.
Should that be one of his nicknames? He is 7-0 on Thursday Night Football.
Name all the wins. Oof. Who have they played on Thursdays?
This is, by the way, sorry, this is not like the show Thursday Night Football. This is just any game on a Thursday.
So okay,
like
so Dallas. I got it. Dallas, Detroit, New Orleans, Miami.
Well, a lot of these might not actually even be like Thursday Night Football games, because those are all things. Three Thanksgiving games.
Yeah.
The Ram game, which is the season opener.
Okay.
That's NBC. That's four. You mentioned a Miami Thursday Night game?
Probably. Jets?
They beat the Bucks on Thursday Night Football. The game where okay. Godwin could have caught a Hail Mary, but he didn't see it.
Yeah.
That's six? What's the seventh?
It is kind of fun now that we know the Bills are in primetime all the time. Like, New England. Wait, that was a Monday, not a Thursday. And
right.
The Sundays versus the Thursdays versus the Mondays.
Well, because I'm trying to think of, like, who... Did Al Michaels call another game for them? Because, like, he's...
Yes.
He did the Steelers Sunday night game, but that's, like, 5 years ago now. So more recently than that... I don't remember. Is there a Jet Thursday night game somewhere along the way? Color Rush. I don't know if Allen ever did Color Rush.
Right. I feel like there's a lot of Jet Thursday night games. Like, those happen all the time, don't they?
Yeah, usually.
This year they play Houston on Thursday night. Don't forget about that. So they got two Thursdays.
They play Houston on Thursday night?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Right. That's right. That's a weird game for a Thursday night game. Their matchups are a little better this year, though. So I guess you'd want the Bills a couple times.
Yeah. The AFC doesn't hit Thursday Night Football after this for about a month. Then it's Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. And you will see the Chargers later this year. Miami makes a Thursday Night appearance against Baltimore later in the year. And the Bills, of course, week 12 at Houston. 803-0550. I'm going to give us a thought on this matchup. The Bills are 12.5 point favorites. It's the biggest spread in the league this year.
The other Thursday game we were missing was there is a New England game in here. They played New England on Thursday Night Football in 2022.
Where?
In New England. 24-10, they won.
All right.
Don't really. Is it weird? I don't remember a New England game.
It's not the game where is Bailey Zappi go in that game or something? Who knows?
That's a Mac Jones game.
All right. We'll go to Butch on the east side. Butch, good morning. Happy game day, Bills Dolphins.
My guys, thanks so much for taking my call. I love MSG. I love WGR and to all the fans who listen to this beautiful station and watch the station. I love you too. Let me get right to it. JJ, Jeremy, and Joe, listen, you know, last year I was just listening to what you guys were speaking about Miami last year, which you was totally correct. And I gave Joe Brady last year a lot because he was doing something, calling things without a lot of ingredients and a lot of things that we had in the cabinet. And we were successful. This year is totally different. Our offense is very explosive. We have talent at the receivers, running backs, offensive lines, and tight ends. Sometimes you guys hear me, and I still got Joe Brady under investigation, a little lightly, though, not heavy like it was earlier. It's because sometimes he falls back to the old habits, like we don't have talent anymore. When we came back against Baltimore, we spread them out, and we just attacked, and we dictated what we wanted to do, and we did it. Against the Jets, we did the same thing when we wanted to score. But then sometimes Joe will come back, and he'd call some of these plays like last year. Tonight, I just want Joe, it's a Thursday night, we done played Sunday, we tired. We want to get this over, get a four-day weekend for the players. Man, spread them out, man. Just attack them, get the game on with, put the points on the board, build the score up, make it easier for the defense, and just make them one-dimension and get the game out the way. Don't come in here and try to be this big-time offensive coordinator and all these pre-cue plays and all that. No, we don't need that. Spread them out. Josh got gas. If he can't throw it, he got gas to run. If you want to hand it off to Cook, Cook got gas because they are spread out. It's open gaps. But when you start packing it in and you start running these cute plays with the fullback and all this other cute stuff, it makes us fall back. You know what I mean? So I just say that moving forward in today's game, I can see why it's a big spread if we use our offense the way we're supposed to. And I'm going to hold that on Joe, and I really believe the fans are going to enjoy it. I know I am. I know you guys are. And I'm expecting a win, but I don't want this win to be a struggle when we have the talent that we have. Let's be a dictator instead of people dictating us. I love you guys so much, and thanks for taking my call. And keep doing what you're doing and keep winning, man.
Thanks, Butch. On Joe Brady, like, we'll probably spend the whole year asking if he's going to get another job. Last year more was very good.
Yeah, but last year was more about, like, figuring out how good he was at this, too.
Yeah.
And now there's a lot more confidence on that. So.
I don't know how often he's been accused of getting too cute, right?
Yeah.
If there's any accusation, it's that sometimes they get a little run-heavy conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Or... you and I like to talk about sometimes that the screen game appears to be a little bit...
yeah, nitpicky stuff like screens on third and six or how they operate on second and short, which drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But it's a little thing. In general, I think what he's done to design this offense, it's kind of the way a lot of offenses we did it. We talked about the pass rate yesterday in the league where a lot of teams are establishing... more of a run game, more being more physical, yards after catch, you know, not taking as many deep shots, and Brady's built an offense that does all of that. Without having, you know, the greatest threats on the outside.
Have they taken deep shots yet? Two games in? Not really. I mean, they had downfield passes in the comeback against Baltimore. But I mean, scripted in, we like this look. There's not been... What's the
Jackson far that, Hawes would be my guess.
A seam shot to Jackson Hawes.
A seam shot is that a 30-yard pass?
No, I don't think it's that. The farthest air yard throw for Allen this year is what? Is it the throw to Palmer that sets up the field goal against Baltimore?
I bet that's similar to the Hawes play. Maybe it's a little further.
And not to say, clearly, like the offense is doing fine. They don't always need it. I wonder if they can get that shot when they want it. Can they hit somebody... over the top? Will that be Miami this week? Will that be the Saints next week? New England? Because it is something that they've talked about, explosive plays. You know, Cook is their explosive play go-to. He is a consistent explosive play waiting to happen. And are you looking for the longest pass this year, air yards?
I am looking.
I bet it's that Palmer throw. I'm trying to think, like a couple downfield shots to Coleman. But I almost want to, not to say I want to treat those ones like they don't matter. They count. But you're playing against a Baltimore team that's soft zone. Baltimore's betting. We can give you a touchdown, maybe. Is it the throw from Allen that gets deflected and caught by Coleman in the back of the end zone? Like, that's not a downfield kind of throw in the same way. So I wonder if that is coming. Elijah Moore, when the Bills signed him, we thought he could be a candidate for this.
Well, I whether it's coming or not, like, who Mahomes is trying to do it still a little bit, right? Like,
yep.
he had a couple bomb deep shots to make something happen against Philadelphia, one of which he had Tyquan Thornton running wide open. He would have ran in for a 70-yard touchdown, and Mahomes missed him by a mile, mm-hmm. like 10 yards over his head. But I think it was the next drive, he came back and he hit him on a similar depth pass down the field into the end zone. But the story about Mahomes for a couple years has been whenever he gets the opportunity to throw a shot down the field like that, he's missing. Allen's not really taking them.
Right.
He's not really throwing them.
He did miss them a lot last year.
Right. And I think that's more, though, isn't that more about the league than it is about the Bills? Like, who is chucking the ball down the field like that?
Well, to answer your question, last year he attempted the second most passes of 20 yards or more.
Right.
So you want to say that that's the league. He was still trying it last year, and they weren't hitting it.
That's what I mean. Like, but in comparison to the league, he was trying it. Well, what about compared to like himself years before that? He probably was throwing the ball down the field more 2-3 years before even last year.
I
don't know.
I don't think so. There's a piece in the Buffalo News that his number of attempts was not much different. It was the conversion that was very different. Right. He still had hunted down the field.
Well, and part of that was last year, I think there was a big misnomer about how defenses were playing the Bills. There was
a lot of single high safety.
Yeah, I'll pull up the stats on that. But the reputation of how defenses played the Bills last year was, oh, they ran the ball and did a lot of short stuff because everyone's doing the two high safety shell to them, right? Like, they're backing up and they want to give you what's in front of them. And that was not true. The Bills were seeing as much one high safety as any team in the league.
Which is the team's telling you, we don't think you can beat us on the outside. We're not too worried about it.
And the Bills were able to accomplish their goals anyway, right? And this year, that was a part of it, is can you drag teams out of that and back into, hey, you gotta have two safeties up there or we're going to kill you. And so far, right, like I can't really think of a play where they've really done that. I guess the league question I have is just, all these teams that are running the ball, all these teams that are throwing the ball around the line of scrimmage, Kansas City's doing that, right? Like, Mahomes is a dink and dunk quarterback at this point. What is there going to be a defense that decides, all right, we're going to the ebbs and flows of the league, where 5 years ago it's all passing, and now it's the defenses are going to give you the run game, they're going to give you the short stuff, and you're going to have to, you know, whittle your way down the field. Is there going to be a defense that says, okay, we're going to go back to, we're going to stop everything short, and we're going to dare you to throw a deep on us?
That happens, I think, when you're playing a bad quarterback. The Bills, I was watching some...
Do you think Allen will never see that again?
Correct. Yes. I think if you are getting aggressive like that, it's at a quarterback that can't make the read and can't make the throw. The Bills had multiple looks in the Jets game. I was watching some All-22 where they blitzed both corners. And isn't that because they think, this guy doesn't know how to beat? Like, I'm thinking back to a quote from, this is going to go forever ago, but at training camp one year, talking with Dave Wanstead, who was the Bills' defensive coordinator with Chan, right?
Yeah, remember that?
He said, you blitz the bad ones and you cover the good ones, about quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have we seen that? I know that's 20 years ago, but what is Josh Allen against the blitz? Good to great. What is Burrow, Mahomes? You blitz the good ones, they are...
They're gonna rip you apart. Balls out.
Yeah.
They know where to go.
Here comes the blitz. Josh Allen moving James Cook to a spot where he's going to, boop, over there. 50-yard run for Cook after the catch because Allen is beating you before the snap. You want to blitz Brady? This is why they always say get there with four. How did the Chiefs lose to the Eagles? Well, they only rushed four. Means you dropped seven. You're not sending all these blitzes. Yeah. They didn't blitz a single time in the Super Bowl. So I think when you see a quarterback get blitzed a lot, it doesn't always mean the quarterback isn't good. Sometimes it means their protection, they don't trust that.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see that unless you're playing bad quarterbacks. Bad quarterbacks, they're going to say, yeah, sure, Justin Fields, try to hit this very tight window throw with a good corner while we're getting three guys through free gaps to get you. Like, if it's Allen,
well,
they won't do that.
That kind of sounds like to me then that the increase in the rushing attack in the NFL in the last couple of years is like going to stay for a long time.
Well,
in 5 years, am I going to be pulling up that passing chart and all the best teams are going to be in the bottom 10?
I don't know about that. I think that it's another example of the idea of the running is back is just a little bit of a settling back from it got so pass heavy. And as we say that, what do we have? One team that's 2-0, the Chargers, is passing all over the place.
They are doing
like,
that.
Will they change that? Will their game travel?
Well, part of it is they can't run the ball.
Right.
They're doing it a little bit out of necessity. I'm looking right now, Allen, for some reason his next gen stats chart from the Ravens game is like blacked out on next gen stats. He didn't throw a pass of 20 yards in the Jets game by air yards. He had 7 in the Ravens game. And the Hawes pass, I have to pull it up like on the NFL Pro thing. Looks like it was 29 yards.
Right.
And I think that is the furthest he's thrown a pass. The Palmer pass was about the same, like 27, 28. But I don't think he's thrown a pass of 30 yards.
Okay. Maybe tonight?
He also threw a deep ball to Shakir that was at the end of the half.
I'll tell you.
That's kind of a broken play. You're trying to get in field goal range, right?
It's the Jet game where Allen got hit as he threw and the ball went nowhere. He's looking for Palmer on that deep. That would have been a 30-yard throw.
I don't remember this play.
Palmer's,
he got hit?
Yeah, Palmer's deep down the field, right to left, single coverage. I bet they take a shot for Palmer tonight. The Miami secondary is a mess. Josh Palmer gets a deep shot tonight.
You make a point about the quarterbacks and the blitz thing, though. Did you see the story Peyton Manning told about John Gruden a couple weeks ago?
Mm-mm.
He told a story how he had like third and goal at like the 6, and they're playing the Bucs, and Gruden is like calling an all-out blitz on Peyton Manning, and Manning sees it before the snap, and he makes like one little adjustment, and he throws a slant to a wide open Reggie Wayne for a touchdown. And Manning, they showed the clip with it. Manning, as he's walking away, he looks over at the sidelines at Gruden, and he like yells at Gruden, "You're kidding me, right? Like, you think you were gonna get me with that one?
Yeah.
Like, I'm Peyton Manning." Like, right. He didn't say that part of it, but like that's how I think about the Allen part.
To further this point, Matthew Stafford threw a pick against the Titans last week. And it wasn't because of a blitz. What was it? It was because they fooled him in coverage where they had, I think, a linebacker dropping all the way back into the flat to undercut a receiver. And I was watching some All-22 of this, and the person online basically saying, like, you never fool this guy. Like,
right.
How do you beat him? You beat him. Well, he's not a guy that gets out of the pocket, so he might be a little different here. You might get some blitzes on him. Like, who's a guy they're blitzing a lot right now? Hurts. Hurts has been.
Yeah.
Hurts gets blitzed a lot, and the
Chiefs did it all day,
the whole day.
Yeah,
and Hurts has not completed any passes in like the intermediate the whole season. So I know it's not as cut and dry as if they get blitzed, they're bad. It's all game plan. It's all what you think you can do, how you can win. Anyway, 803-0550. The Bills have been blitzing more this year, and they blitz a lot.
I saw
yesterday
they're like sixth in the league in how much they're blitzing.
Larry in Atlanta. Hey Larry. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I know earlier you were asking for your favorite Bills-Dolphins memory, so I have a pretty good one I wanted to share with you. That was 1980. I was 9 years old, and my parents took me to my first NFL game, which was the Bills-Dolphins game, of course, where they had lost 20 games in a row to the Dolphins, and they finally beat them. So I'm at this game. I've never been to a game. I don't remember the game, but what I do remember was as soon as the game was over, as you guys know, the fans stormed the field. So they start ripping down the goalposts. And the funny thing to me was that they took the netting behind the goalpost, brought it out to midfield, and dozens of fans surrounded it, and they were using it as a trampoline. So people are jumping up and down on the net. The goalposts are down. We're leaving the stadium, and we see a guy with 2 sawhorses and a huge chunk of the goalpost, and he's sawing it up into pieces. He's cutting it and giving it away.
He just had a saw? What kind of saw? Is he got a chainsaw? What do we got here?
Chainsaw.
Wow.
A chainsaw.
I mean, 1980, I guess. Whatever. Sure. The guy's got a chainsaw. And he had all these sawhorses, right, where you put the things on. So he's got this whole setup ready to go. And he's cutting it up, giving it out to people. And I really wanted a piece, but my dad could not get me out of there fast enough. I imagine everybody was just completely wasted. So it was a pretty chaotic environment. And that was my first game, and it was amazing.
That's a heck of a first game. I'm just – thanks, Larry, for the phone call. I'm just picturing what kind of saw would I think would make it through a goalpost. And I would not be thinking – I mean, chainsaw, that's
– chainsaw wood.
Sure, but that's – lot of sparks, a lot of noise.
Yeah.
You know, a nice little hacksaw might do the job with the right blade on a goalpost.
That'd be like what? It'd be like similar to cutting through PVC pipe, right? That'd be fine.
It's a good question.
In terms of like how tough that would be to cut through? I don't think it would be, it doesn't feel like it would be that tough.
It'd be tougher than PVC pipe.
You think it'd be tougher?
Yeah. It's more sturdy than PVC. A goalpost.
Yeah?
Yeah, the sound...
It's thicker, probably.
The sound it makes indicates that it
yeah,
the,
okay, that's probably... Because it's so... Right, it's so tall also that it's got to be somewhat sturdy. Because if you had PVC pipe that's that tall and tried to make a field goal post out of it, wouldn't it just fall over?
You would think.
Although I don't think I've ever held goalpost.
No. And in fact, most goalposts you see, there's padding around the base, so you're not really, unless you're jumping up.
Well, like, I've done that and, like, barely been able to touch, like, the bottom of a goalpost with my finger, but not enough that I would ever, like, you know what it's made of or feels like. I don't think I've ever held a piece of goalpost, so I don't know.
803-0550.
A lot of people must have it. I mean, if this guy was cutting it up, I mean, you could make a lot of pieces out of a whole goalpost. So I'm sure it's just littered around the fan base.
Yeah. Give us a ring. Your Bills Dolphins memories. That's a good one.
Should they
listen up, football fans? You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring the goalpost down today is like a ceremonial, like, hey, last game against Miami, if they win the game, you know, as like a throwback tradition, like goalposts are coming down tonight. Maybe they don't let everyone on the
instead,
field.
Instead, every fan walking in gets a tiny little goalpost to take home. How about that?
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, lead the goalposts up, folks. We're going to need them next week. It's a long week, but the Saints are
right
in town.
Yeah. They can play the Saints without field goalposts, right?
They come marching in.
I've got NFL field goal posts are structural aluminum tubing with padding.
Aluminum.
On the base,
gotcha.
So
gotcha.
Aluminum.
So that'd be tougher.
You could do a hacksaw if you've got a metal blade.
Definitely.
For it.
A hacksaw. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like a hacksaw, yeah. You wouldn't even need a chainsaw. But the chainsaw would be aggressive.
It would be hardcore, yeah.
That's better than when Tennessee beat Alabama and they threw their goalposts in the river. I'd rather you make souvenirs out of it than you just chuck it in the river.
What'd they do once it was in the river?
I have no idea.
They fish it out?
Probably the authorities fished it out, yeah.
They left it in there to be a reef?
I don't know. Owen, do you still have it up? Does it float is the next question.
Would a goalpost float?
Would a goalpost float?
No.
I would imagine if it's hollow.
It does not
float. You think
it,
so?
It might.
No.
If it's hollow, it would, I would think.
Aluminum? They make boats out of aluminum, don't they?
Yeah, but that's surface tension of water. That's what makes boats float. Not a goalpost doesn't have like all that surface tension is what I'm going with.
It's so long, it might, I don't know.
No.
Who knows?
I think it might float.
No.
I'd be curious.
I think it might
float.
We
should make a model, Joe. We'll make a model.
Yeah. Or I could just look up what happened to the Tennessee goalpost that they carried out of the stadium and then threw in the river.
No, there's no way a goalpost floats.
I think there's a way. I think you're not giving it
off. If you put it on a raft. Yes. If you put it on a boat. But no, that thing's going to the bottom. That's a guess. All right, we're going to need someone that makes aluminum things. I think the structure of it is just not structurally anyway.
Okay, I'm watching it now. They throw this thing in the river, and it looks like it sinks immediately.
All right, mystery solved.
This is going to be like Zapruder film because it's like a fan video, like trying to figure out whether
you're telling
it's actually
you see
floating.
A piece poking up because the river's only 10 feet deep.
That's the thing. It's very dark, and I don't know how deep the water is that this thing is in.
Listen, we are cracking the important cases this morning. It's game day. Sal next. Mike Catalana at 8. Chris Brown 8:30. Bills Dolphins previews on the way here on WGR. The Dolphins are in town, Sal. That's why we're talking about whether or not goalposts float. And also the materials that would best cut through goalposts.
I got a video that kind of looks like it's floating when Tennessee fans threw it in the river.
Not. I don't know. I'm still convinced they don't float. Sal, you have a take on this? It's time to have a take. Would a goalpost float?
I would think it would, yes. I don't know. I'm thinking of the buoyancy here. I don't really know. Way above my head. Not something I normally would know, but I'm... I mean, why wouldn't it, right? I mean, what's it made of there? And then the other part is, like, you know, that's why you can't really tear down the goalposts anymore. They have the hydraulic lifts now for the goalposts. They go up and down automatically with, like, a push of a button, basically.
Okay. I didn't know about these hydraulic lifts.
But that would stop.
They do what?
Well, I mean, if I want to say hydraulic lift, but, like, the new goal, like, this happened a few years ago. Like, goalposts aren't... Most stadiums, I believe the Bills have this. I mean, someone could tell me. Maybe somebody's listening to the organization and say, Sal, that's wrong. I'm pretty sure now. Goalposts now, they can go up and down basically like they're electronic. You know what I mean? They're something you can just move them up and down so people can't do that anymore.
Gotcha. Well, we're not endorsing doing that. In fact, we're saying do not do that. They need
correct. Yeah, they need correct. So, but I do think if you think about the college games and being torn down, I think they float. I'm not sure. I think they do.
It's so tough to tell. The Tennessee fans beat Alabama and they threw it in the river, but it's so hard to see it. And it's like such a quick video. It's a cell phone. Like, I don't know. I think it floats. I'm with Sal and Owen. You're on your own right now. Is the only one who thinks that they don't float.
I'm certainly not the only one.
Because of what, surface
think...
tension or something?
I've learned through the bullpen chat has told me that's the wrong physics principle, but that they probably would not float nonetheless. All right, Sal. So Matt Milano and Ed Oliver out of this game?
Matt Milano and Ed Oliver out of it. Weird transition, but it's okay.
Got to do it.
yeah, that's all right. Matt Milano, you know, we're still... waiting to hear really more of a concrete update on his status going forward. Sean McDermott with me yesterday on the Extra Point Show basically said, we'll see where it goes next week for both of them. But he said with Matt specifically when I asked that, you know, it's more about how everything responds over after the first few days of this type of injury. So, I mean, it is a quick turnaround, right? So it's really tough to gauge. If this was a Sunday game and we were still in this boat, I think you'd have a little bit more of an antenna up on it. But I still think you have to have one here because you don't know. You know, but Ed Oliver, we kind of knew going into last week that this would be a multi-week injury, and he's out this week. So they'll be missing Ed Oliver. They'll be missing Matt Milano. And then, you know, Taron Johnson, who missed last week. Now, he told the media he feels like he's good to go. So I think it sounds like he's going to be, you know, ready to play. And we'll see about Cam Lewis, red non-contact jersey, only a few days. You never know with these short weeks, you know, what's going to happen here.
Barnes Firm Injury Report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. On Miami's side of things, I know Jalen Waddle showed up on the injury report with a bit of a shoulder issue. How does Miami come into this game?
Yeah, and Chop Robinson as well is not, he's questionable. So it looks like Miami is a little bit banged up like the Bills. Let me just kind of pull up their injury report here. I had that.
The other one was they ruled Darren Waller out, Sal, but he really hasn't. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't even got on the field. So it's almost like a... feels like a wash, right? Like he hasn't done anything.
Taron Waller was like the king of late round flyer in fantasy.
Yes, that's right. He was. Yeah.
Right. I mean, because you figure like, okay, well, Darren Waller, you know, if maybe he could actually, you know, go do something. So here you go. So you're right, Darren Waller. But Storm Duck is out. That is a corner for them. Safety. Iafete Melifonwu, Syracuse guy, I believe, right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
I think Melifonwu is a Syracuse guy. They're both out. And that hurts their secondary. Their secondary is already, you know, depleted a bit as it is, meaning like it's just hasn't been that good, and now they're losing depth pieces and guys who play. And then Chop Robinson's questionable, and Jalen Waddle and defensive tackle Benito Jones is also questionable.
One thing about this matchup, Sal, Tyreek Hill's been, you know, front and center of a lot of controversy there in Miami about his place on the team, whether or not they would move him if he asked for a trade. And Hill, outside of maybe a playoff game, has not really put up big numbers against the Bills. And I wonder if the Bills kind of, you know, keep their same approach to him that they always would, where they're afraid of him torching them and they make sure he doesn't. Now it seems like everybody keeps him in check. He's not had a lot of big, long, explosive catches in the last calendar year. And I don't know if you'd expect him to get one tonight or Miami to try and feed him tonight, but, you know, Sean McDermott, Bobby Babbage, they seem to have had the formula on Hill for a while here.
I want to say this could be a Tua or Mike McDaniel offense point, you know, and how teams have been defending. And if you remember a few years ago when the Dolphins were rolling and they came to Buffalo, the Bills did a really good job on them. And people said, wait a minute, you know, this is how you defend the team. Or maybe it was even the year before that and the Bills that went to Miami and did it. But remember when the Bills just took away all those first reads from Tua and like he had to sit in the pocket just that tick longer and then bam, everything was right there in front of his face and then he couldn't get to what he wanted. And I feel like that's kind of been the blueprint around the league to defend Miami. I agree with you. It went before that for Tua, but I think the Bills have done a good job of kind of defending this offense. They've done a good job of defending Tua and understanding what this offense is about, the timing, the rhythm, and disrupting that. Now, that being said, I went back and watched last year's game here, the one where Tyler Bass hit the 61-yarder to win the game. And there were a few times where guys got down the field a little bit on the Bills, including Tyreek had one down the sidelines kind of later in the game, or third quarter, I believe it was, to get down the field. He was on the sidelines, and I think Kyrie Elam was over there in coverage, and say what you will about that, but he was down the sidelines. Jalen Waddle had a couple. Tyreek got behind the linebacker. So there's been times, and they can still do that. They have the ability to do that. There's no doubt. But I think more than anything, guys, I think that what the Bills have really done, it's not necessarily a Tyreek Hill thing. It is a disruption of the Miami offense thing, which is why that happens.
Yeah, in fact, they discussed that this week. Tua underthrew Tyreek Hill and said, like, yeah, of course, I couldn't get my feet under me. And that might be the kind of thing, Sal, where you're just betting, even if this guy does get behind us, we're going to get a crack at this football.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the first thing you have to do is say, let's just disrupt the timing here. And if you can do that, then everything else kind of can lead to something else that helps you. If you let the Miami Dolphins, with their offense and what they want to do, get into a rhythm and get their timing down, it's tough to stop. It's a very good offense. And then they can throw the running game at you because you don't know and you're on your heels. That's the number one thing you got to do. And I think the Bills have just done a good job of that over the years. Miami actually hurt the Bills last year, too, with a couple of screen passes. Devon Achane catches one. He runs for a touchdown. They had good blocking up front. They're fast, right? If they get those guys the ball in space, they're fast. And that's the thing you always have to watch out for. A few years ago, they came to town, and they had a great game plan to really kind of run at the Bills and use the Bills' kind of lighter box against them because they play nickel so much. You know, and then they're banged up in the O-line, though, so I don't know if they're able to do that as much these days. But, you know, they'll try to find some wrinkles to do things like that.
So I was just watching back a little bit of the Tua game, the Skylar Thompson playoff game here.
Yeah.
And at the end of that game, the Bills are up three. The Dolphins get to midfield, and they had already taken like a delay a game penalty or a false start penalty on that drive. They get to fourth and one. They can't get the play in, delay a game, and now it's fourth and six. And that just happened to them against New England. And I'm wondering like how much criticism McDaniel's getting, not just for the results, but I saw another quote. Tyreek Hill said that he just finally fully understood the offense this year. Just like that. The Bills seem to understand that offense, but I don't know if the Dolphins have an offense that really works in today's NFL because there are so many mistakes that come out of it.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me a little bit of Rex Ryan's defenses, which are really, really good when they're on point and everybody understands. But, man, there's just so much that goes into it. There's so much complication to it that you have to really understand every little nuance and get ready as soon as you can. And it's hard in today's NFL. And you guys remember what happened when Baltimore came to Buffalo 2 weeks ago, and we talked about this. The Ravens used the Bills' communication and allowed stadium against them and said, we're just going to go quick snap. You know, when you run an offense, it's a little bit more complex, and you run an offense that it requires people to know a bunch of stuff. Those things are going to happen. And, I mean, Miami just needs to kind of change their operation after what I saw last week. And maybe they will this week. Short week, right? Short week. Be ready for it. Short week. They might come in here and say, we're going to keep everything simple and just, bam, get up to the line and go, and everything's quick and everything's on rhythm. Because if they continue to try and do what they've been doing, it just winds up hurting them. They're late in the play clock. They're getting out of the huddle late. They're getting the snap off just before the play clock. And that's just not good for anybody. And I have heard, now I have friends that are Dolphins fans even, and like they'll tell me like they're just right now very not with this coach and what he's about and what he's doing. And they really liked him. And now it just seems like that's not that's not something that they're supporting as much anymore, you know, because of a lot of the things that you're talking about.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Wester Hotline ahead of Bills Dolphins, the final time the Dolphins will visit Highmark Stadium, unless of course, Sal, they get the wild, we already did the math on this, kind of they get the wild card while the Bills get pushed out of the one seed, because if the Bills do get the one seed, then Miami has to make the playoffs and win a game
and just no chance.
Yeah, so we're just not feeling like that's it. Do you have a Miami memory that for you stands out above all the others?
Yeah, I think we talked about a few of them this week, right? The 44-34 in the snow was one for me. The snow game here was another one for me. You know what? I'll tell you another one. It's just kind of under the radar because it kind of didn't matter. It was during the drought. C.J. Spiller returning a kickoff for a touchdown against Miami Doug Marrone coaching year, you know, and I remember that. And I don't, when's the last time the Bills returned a kickoff or a touchdown? Is that it?
Since then, right? Kick return touchdown?
Yeah.
I mean, there was the Nyheim Hines game, so there would be
That's right. I'm sorry. You're right about that.
So, but otherwise, I got a McKelvin against the Dolphins on a Thursday. Yeah, but McKelvin's probably before Spiller.
That's before Spiller,
that can't be many. Like, maybe it's three or four ago, Sal. It's not. I don't think it's a lot.
I remember that year. That was, CJ.
Yeah.
Because what I remember about that, okay, so that's 2014, actually. Here's why I remember it, because I believe I had just started on the sidelines, and the Bills had gone to Chicago and won. That's the Fred Jackson game. They come back. That's the second game of the year. And at that point, I know it's kind of a weird thing to kind of think about and talk about, but it's such a nuanced, weird thing that I didn't know, on the kickoffs, where am I standing? What if he returns this? And I remember saying to myself, well, if he returns this for a touchdown, I'd like to be down there. And I wasn't. I was where he caught it, because I'm figuring that's where the offense is going to start. But then, of course, he returned the kickoff for a touchdown. I'm on the other side of the field. I always think about that now when I'm on the sidelines, where to be on the kickoff return.
Yeah, very quickly, Cassell, I know you got to go. But that game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're wearing their throwbacks. I'm at this game, like five rows back of the end zone. This is the game where Terry Pegula is introduced as Bill's owner.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was the home opener. They did that big
One
like
Buffalo.
the zoom in picture thing that they do with the whole stadium.
All right,
and it was like Kelly introducing Terry Pegula as the new owner was that game.
Yeah, listen, just a little operational stuff here. People ask me, and I want to make sure this I get out there, about like practice squad elevations. Because it's a midweek night game, that doesn't happen to happen until today. So later today, before the game, at some point, I think they have to do the transaction officially by 4. We might not find out until like inactives come out, to be quite honest with you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like so that's not a day before the game situation like a Saturday, Sunday game, guys. That's later today.
Very good. Thanks, Al.
You got it. You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, head of Bills Dolphins tonight.
We got this question in the chat or like way earlier, and I saw Matt Beauvais tweet it.
Is it about goalposts floating?
It's not about goalposts
floating. Oh, okay. Something else? Okay.
Matt Beauvais reminding everybody that if you don't need Amazon Prime to watch the Bills game tonight locally. It'll be on Channel 7.
Yes, that's right.
WKBW.
Very good. Jeremy and Joe, Mike Catalana at 8. We'll get his thoughts on the history of this series, this matchup, and also maybe a little check-in on the news that Oak Hill, which was confirmed yesterday, Oak Hill getting the 2035 PGA Championship. So good news for golf fans in this area. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring. Open phone lines for you. Jump on the chat. Jump into YouTube, wherever you want to catch us. We'll see you there on WGR. Quick follow-up from yesterday, a conversation we had about the Tom Brady scandal.
Uh-huh.
Meeting with coaches on Zoom, and is there a conflict of interest? And I think a lot of people think there is a conflict of interest. Ben Johnson on the issue, quote, "I don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest with you." That's according to Kevin Fishbane. Bears head coach Ben Johnson said he's been in pure coach speak mode when asked about this week's production meeting with Tom Brady. So the other thing about it is it's Bears Commanders this week, and that's the game Brady has. And then next week the Commanders play the Raiders. So he could watch the game. Connor Orr wrote a piece about it, how it's a big conflict of interest and how, you know, when you're listening to Brady, you now wonder, well, did he get that from the coaches? Jaden Daniels is going to want to roll to his right. Watch one Manning cast and you'll kind of see how Tom Brady gets his information. He knows the game incredibly well, sees stuff happening. Tony Romo's predicting plays at the start of his career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just based on formation, like, oh, watch what they're going to do here. They're going to do that. I don't think that came from production meetings. I think that comes from just watching
in the league 2 years ago.
Yeah, just watching formations. And so I'm of the opinion, if you think it's a conflict of interest, you're probably right. I also think it's probably not as big a deal as some have made it out to be.
Did you see that he is going to be playing in this flag football thing also?
I did.
So there's going to be a flag football tournament in Saudi Arabia, and like Miles Garrett is going to play, Saquon's going to play, Lamb is going to play, Sauce Gardner, who are the other ones? Tyreek Hill, Christian, like, you know what's happening, right? You know what Brady wants? He wants to play in the Olympics. Guarantee it. Right now.
So that's why he's in the flag football league?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's getting ready. He's getting ready. He's starting that train right now. He wants to be the quarterback for Team USA in the Olympics. Mark my words. Mm-hmm. That is what he's doing. That is the Brady story that I'm more interested in right now. Not like this. I'm with you. Like, I don't know how much he actually gets out of the broadcast meetings. He's trying to be an Olympian. When he'll be 50.
I will not be watching this flag football league, that I can tell you.
Wait, the flag football league or the tournament?
This game,
this is like a one-off tournament for like a day or 2 days.
I will not be watching this.
You watch it at the Olympics, though, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Just depend who the quarterback is.
No.
If Josh is the quarterback, you'd watch.
Sure.
But if Brady's the quarterback, no.
803-0550. If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get your phone calls in. We'll talk with Mike Catalano previewing Bills Dolphins this time, remembering the series as a whole, and also a little on the story he broke a couple days ago that Oak Hill is getting the PGA Championship back that has since been confirmed. 2035 for Oak Hill. 2033 for Bethpage Black. So 2 out of 3 years, we will have the PGA Championship in New York State. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.